This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the State Department proposes extreme vetting, and the left pushes back.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In light of President Trump's executive order on securing America from the terrorist threat, there is a new procedure that's being proposed by the State Department in our visa application for immigrant visas to the United States. So a select group of visas, that is a form. It's the DS-260 form. That's the form you fill out for an immigration visa to immigrate to the United States. It already asks, are you a terrorist? Have you or will you, conduct terrorist activities? Then that question, again, is if you're talking about someone who may be trying to do something in America and utilize this program, they're probably not going to be answering that in an affirmative way. But it goes one step further. Now it's asking for social media handles going back 5 years. So people don't just answer yes or no, but they have got to provide some more about what they're saying publicly. It already, asks things like phone number, email address, home address. But I think that when you're talking about commenting online, and we've seen this before, how many times have we seen this before, these terrorist activities? I think San Bernardino was one of the most extreme examples where you had the wife who was posting ISIS propaganda, and it was found like within hours of their name being released, not even hours, they were able to track this down and compare it. So you've got the social media request, but also another question, which is not just about your involvement with a terrorist organization, but are any of your family members? And it goes to specific family members. There's a comment period on this for 60 days. The ACLU is outraged. They believe there are 4 points they bring up specifically that they see as problems. They claim that this is going to be ineffective and deeply problematic. Of course, these questions aren't on there right now, and no one's asking this. So how would they know if it's going to be ineffective? I mean, it already asks, are you a terrorist? I think that's pretty ineffective for people who are actually coming for nefarious reasons. But asking that second question to a visa applicant who's asking to immigrate to the United States, that are you affiliated by family with anyone who is conducting these activities, takes it a step further. So you know the kind of people that you may be putting on a path to citizenship or permanent residence who may then be able to bring more family over. And how how closely associated are they to you? We want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. They also believe that this will infringe on the right of immigrants, and this is an interesting point, and U.S. citizens, we don't have to apply for visas to return to our own home country, by chilling freedom of speech and association. We're talking about terrorist commentary and support for known terrorist activities. And so, again, there I think that these are people asking to be granted something special from the United States. They're asking for the visa. This is specifically an immigrant visa. So for periods of time or indefinite periods of time, if it's something you get renewed or even potentially to a pathway to U.S. citizenship, that ultimately these are issues with the U.S. has a lot of room to ask the questions it deems necessary. And I want to remind you, it already asked, are you a terrorist? So ACLU is trying to act like this is something new that's never been done before. Now it takes that question a step further. Are you associated by family with anyone who has been? And that's a lot about truthfulness. If you're being honest and truthful, even when you know it's something you may not want to be truthful about, and the social media handles. Again, they're not asking for passwords to go into your social media from if you're a foreign national from the back end. They're just asking so they can see what you're saying publicly, what's associated with you. We want to get your phone calls on this new proposal. We're going to have to fight back against the ACLU on this. They can't be the only voice here. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Do you like this increased extreme vetting on visa applicants to the United States? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and Logan, people can get involved now.
That's right. Broadcasting live online, Facebook.com/JaySeculo, Periscope and Twitter at Jordan Seculo today, and you can find us on ACLJ.org. Give us a call.
We'll be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. At a time when terrorists are literally on the run from places like Syria because ISIS is, in the words of the White House today, has been nearly eliminated. It's just a small amount of in Syria specifically where ISIS remains. They've gone to other places because of the efforts of the U.S. military to destroy ISIS. We'll get into this in the second half hour of the broadcast on, again, this White House statement about Syria. And we'll analyze all of that. So you may have seen that breaking in the news this morning. We will get to that on the air today. But we are focusing in on this in the fight against terrorism and trying to prevent terrorist attacks on our own soil. We're looking to those who may be trying to utilize our immigration systems to then be bad actors. And we're trying to do this in a way that for all those people who apply for visas to immigrate to the United States, that they will have to identify their social media accounts going back 5 years. There'll be specific social media accounts requested. That can always be updated, as the government says, based off what information they believe is necessary and what platforms change all the time. But, I mean, I'm assuming that would include things like Facebook, Twitter, maybe like Instagram, and other places where ISIS has been known and other terrorist groups have been known to use as recruitment tools or to spread propaganda. They're not asking for anybody's passwords. So I think as Stan said during our break to our audience, it's kind of like a, you know, it's part of the extreme vetting, but it's this should not be deemed extreme. It should be totally within the legal authority of the U.S. government to ask these kind of questions and to ask if anyone in your direct family has been associated, charged, or is associated currently with terrorist organizations and international terrorist organizations. So we'll get to what the ACLU doesn't like about this. There were a couple more points as well, but Logan, there's a lot of phone calls. Let's take some of them now.
All right, let's go to Bruce in Connecticut on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Bruce.
How are you? They should also do fingerprints, DNA, and photos for photo recognition, so we have real track of all these people that are here.
Yeah, I believe you have to do a photo. I don't know how much information you have to provide when you come in, whether you have to send fingerprints before, whether or not you do that when you come into the country. You know, so a lot of this, again, it's not affecting us. When I say us, I mean American citizens or people who are already here on either, you know, permanent residence or those who work on green cards. They can go through the renewal process. These are new visa applicants to immigrate to the United States, And Than, you would think that in Washington, D.C., there would be such broad bipartisan support for these common sense questions that, again, give the U.S. government, if you are a known, if you are a known associate or a family member, and you don't answer that question truthfully, so that the U.S. government can then follow up with you and say, well, are you trying to come here because you're scared of this family member because they're a threat to you as well? Because we know that these terrorists turn on their families and often leave their families. But we're also asking about, you know, honesty and truthfulness to those who are granting a special right to be here.
Jordan, both the question and the access to a social media handle should be automatic. I mean, those should be the first level of inquiry into someone coming to enter the United States, because exactly what you said, you want to make sure that what they say aligns up with what they have said on social media as well. And Jordan, I'll just tell you this. One of the things that we're hearing is that this is going to add a burden to the application process. Look, this application process is lengthy already. It takes about 2 hours to fill up. I'm holding up a sample of it, a printout of the online version. And Jordan, the estimate is that these additional questions and additional things that they would be required to turn over would take another 35 minutes. Well, I want you to tell the families of the victims of the San Bernardino attack or some of the other attacks where there have been social media warnings that another 35 minutes for that visa applicant to turn over their social media handles and maybe prevent that attack is somehow not worth it. Jordan, if our federal government is not engaging in this level of inquiry, I would suggest they're not doing their job. This is not extreme. This is basic.
We're talking about only about 700,000 applications where this would be relevant. So it sounds like a lot, but we know how much we spend for our federal government bureaucracy to have enough people working to handle this workload. And if, you know, again, I think they're averaging, you know, it may take an additional half hour to do this work. And by the way, I just want to clarify that when you apply for a visa and do your interview at a visa application center, you are fingerprinted and your photo, current photo, is captured as well. I know, you know, when I apply for visas for foreign countries, some ask for a photo, like a passport photo. Some ask very similar questions to this, and it shouldn't be difficult for most people. I mean, the fact is, if it's going to affect 710,000 people, wow, 710,000 people applying for access to the United States have got these ties to terrorism that we don't know about? I mean, is that what they're estimating? And then, you know, the extra time involved so that we know one of these people is not like the wife in the San Bernardino attack, who is an ISIS recruiter that could have been known in about a half hour. I mean, that's the thing here, is that you can prevent so much of this activity by just knowing what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the news covers how quickly, when one of these things breaks, do you all of a sudden get a deluge of photos and videos and things posted to social media?
Yeah.
Because all it takes is one person in the newsroom to just search a name, typically, and all of a sudden it all is very, very clear.
Yeah.
It's not like a lot of times these things are hidden. It's pretty crystal clear.
People aren't talking as much about what happened at YouTube yesterday afternoon, but let's be honest, that person's name came out. Mm-hmm. Within minutes, you knew everything about their social media profile, yeah, which they were had issues with
exactly
YouTube,
the problems, yeah,
had videos. The father of the woman who carried this attack out alerted authorities, okay, about the threat she could pose to YouTube specifically. So you've got all those kind of things where, as we see often in these situations, people throwing the warning signs, them being kind of there for you.
Right.
And here's an opportunity we have for people who are asking for something special. They're asking to get immigration to the United States. We should be able to know as much about them that we can possibly learn in the easiest way possible. What's online? What are they saying that's associated with them? And of course, they're going to have the ability to say, you know, that's not my name. That's why I didn't put it on there. That's just, you know, someone utilized if it's a common name. Of course, there's ways to work this.
Right.
But it's about whether or not they're being honest and truthful. That goes to a lot of this as well. The bigger picture is, you know, in the future, can you trust them as someone who is here long term as an immigrant to the United States? Let's grab another call before we go into this next break.
All right, let's go to Robert in Maryland on line three.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and hi, Logan. I wanted to ask the both of you, in addition to a question such as if an individual has a direct ties to a foreign terrorist organization, or does any direct family member have a tied to a foreign terrorist organization, say, for example, like an Al-Qaeda affiliate like Al-Shabaab or the Islamic State, what other common sense questions could immigration officials be asking to find out whether an individual has ties to a foreign terrorist organization or if a direct family member has ties to a foreign terrorist organization? Because you already brought out the example of the wife of Omar Mateen, who was an active recruiter for the Islamic State.
Yeah, and she had to get a visa. So she went through the process where she got asked the question, are you a terrorist? But they didn't ask for her social media accounts, Robert. So, of course, she can identify herself as that if she is an active recruiter. But on top of that, didn't have to list anything. Leaving it blank nowadays would be suspicious as well, because it's very tough to find, especially in certain age categories, people who have no social media profile whatsoever. Right. If you're coming from anywhere even quasi-developed in the world. And I think that, again, the questions that are already asked are the ones that you would imagine a background check. And I think we need to treat the digital world the same way we treat the physical world. It's not weird that we ask for your home address, right? That's a lot more intrusive, if you actually think about it. Your home address in a foreign country, your phone numbers, your email addresses. And so that's our, you know, where you work, where you have worked, where you have lived, your name, also known as, so your AKAs, if you're coming from a place, if you're married, what was your name before that? I mean, all of that information's there. This is building on, Than, the attempt to try and create a full profile of those asked. That's all. It's just a full profile on the person who is applying for visa status. I would imagine that most of these folks have no problem with this, that it's not an issue. They want to come to the United States for good reasons. That's most. But you will probably be able to weed out those who could pose a serious threat. And we don't have an obligation to allow people in.
In fact, Jordan, I think it will speed up the process for those who don't have troubling ties because, yeah, it'll take a half hour longer to fill out the form, but it will make it easier for law enforcement to confirm that they do not have terrorist association ties. And I'll just say this. I mean, they have to answer the question about are you associated with terrorists? But I think we have to go back to the point you made in the first segment of the broadcast, Jordan. Almost everybody is going to say that they don't. But when they add to that their social media handles, law enforcement will be able to look at those handles, look at those profiles, what they have posted, and see if what they are saying actually lines up with reality. So if they've posted things that put them in association with problematic groups, and then they answer that question falsely on the form, Jordan, that will be a red flag, and we will keep people that should not be in this country from entering.
Right. You say the legitimacy, the truth to that question, especially if it's, are your family members tied to it? Yeah. When you can start looking through people's social media and see who their family members are, that becomes a lot more, okay, I'll be honest about that,
right?
Because here's the situation. Phone lines are jammed right now. A lot of you guys want to talk about this. We're going to keep going, though. We're going to take as many calls as we can and comments as well from social media. You can watch us, by the way, if you're listening on the radio. That's at facebook.com/jseculo. Today, Twitter and Periscope at Jordan Seculo. And again, phone lines are completely jammed. You can go to aclj.org also to watch us.
All right, folks. The number to call is 1-800-684-3110. We're going to keep taking those phone calls. We really want your comments, just like the government has asked for, on this proposed rule to secure our country.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are talking about the new proposals to update our visa application, immigrant visa to the United States. This is, again, the form that people fill out when they apply. It's the DS-260 form. Information here that it will be additional information is going to be asking about social media handles for the last 5 years for specific social media sites and platforms. So that those will be very specific, not just all, but specifically laid out so people will know what to answer. Yep. And family members' connection with terrorism. We already asked, are you connected with terrorism? Now is it our people, the family members? And the family members will be defined. But I think it's important to know because the ACLU is coming out and saying, well, this is not going to be effective and this is not going to work. But I just think that this part is important. The Department of State asserts that gathering this information will enable consular officers to adjudicate the visa eligibility. I think that's an important point, that you have to be eligible for this kind of visa. You have to go through a number of steps in a process. This is one of them, to get a immigrant visa to the United States. And so it's helping the person who's making that decision come to a conclusion. I think it actually could speed the process along in a time when people are so concerned about specific regions of the world as well. But you know, of course, they want to make this out to be a Muslim ban. Now, I think that that's telling to one extent because right. Nothing in this language is anything about religion. Nothing. But they are asking, they are saying this will specifically only impact predominantly Muslims. Now, I think that that is telling from the ACLU because now they're putting people in this box.
They're
labeling. This is the only people that, and you know, we're dealing with threats of our time that, yes, a lot of threats are emanating from the Muslim world, but this is law for the future moving forward. And I think that we're just adapting our forms to relate to the times. I mean, I think that these are, they're talking about what you're saying publicly. They're not asking for these individuals' passwords to get into their accounts. I mean, I think there's already safeguards, even for these individuals who we owe nothing to as a nation, as a country. We don't have to grant this status to, but we have a process of how you go about applying for the visa. And of course, that there's different speed levels depending on why you're applying. And I think the perfect example is some of the fastest happens when you marry an American citizen.
Right.
And the situation in San Bernardino was the perfect example of the wife had a very strong social media presence in support of ISIS. She wasn't even asked about that. You know, I mean, whether or not she would have been truthful, whether or not would it be caught, that's something we will know in the future when this law is actually updated. But it was there. The information was there. Let's go right to the phones.
All right, let's do it. A lot of people have been holding for a long time. Diane is calling, though, in Indiana online, too. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
I just have a comment, and that is about the ACLU, and I believe it's the governor of Kentucky is suing. Well, the ACLU is suing the governor of Kentucky because he is trying to block his social media from being seen by virtually everyone. He wants to keep it, some of it, private, which I think he's a perfect right to, but of course, whatever. But so that seems to be such a double standard that...
Yeah, well, you know, they engage in a lot of what's called, so it's like Freedom of Information Act requests. And if you're deemed to be a government official, you can get access. States have these rules. Federal government has these rules. We're active in that. You know, but then they say, well, if you ask for this kind of information as the government, you're trampling on free speech rights. They actually include that, which is unique because, one, you know, you're making these... We're talking about public profiles. When they file those FOIAs, they're asking for things that are not necessarily out there in the public domain, but that the state under their law may have an obligation. I don't know all the specifics of that case, so I don't want to say they do have an obligation. That would depend on how the law reads. Different states have different laws on this about criminal issues, about state governance issues, and what information is available. We're engaged in this actively with the federal government. And so, again, it's this idea that information is great, except if we're asking people who want to come here. I think the ACLU would like it just to be like, hey, do you want to come to the U.S.? Okay, you can come. I mean, because they want everybody else's information. They want to be able to do all these reports, investigations. Hey, we do that. I'm not criticizing that. We should be able to hold our government officials accountable and the U.S. government accountable through the FOIA process. That's why we have a Freedom of Information Act. But, and let me go to Than Bin on this, Than, the idea that we can't ask people who are getting a special grant to be here, whatever the reason that may be, whether who they married, economic reasons, personal reasons, that we can ask them for this kind of information. I mean, it's, if there was, again, I think it's kind of a ridiculous question to assume too much is given on, are you a terrorist? Answer yes or no. But the secondary questions, I think, are actually much smarter, because if you're really want to get to the U.S. and you're asked for the social media profile, what's your, you know, what are your family members, who are you connected to, you're probably going to be a little bit more honest about family members associated with, you know, terrorist organizations, or what you are, you know, how you've posted online, because you will realize that they're actually looking for this now.
That's right.
Well, I think the only way to determine if that first question is answered accurately, Jordan, is to ask for that social media profile. And, you know, the ACLU's objections don't make any sense on a number of different levels. But I wanted to go back to when they say that it will unfairly target immigrants and travelers from Muslim-majority countries. Jordan, we've been talking about a lot how this will build the profile of the terrorists. But guess what else it's going to build? It's going to build the profile of the legitimate migrants. So it's going to take them 30 minutes longer to fill out this form. But then law enforcement is going to be able to look at that profile and quickly determine that they are not the person of the same name that does have terrorist ties. So the ACLU can't have it both ways. If you want to build the profile of a terrorist, it's also going to be positive in building the profile of a legitimate migrant and actually speed that process for them. So I don't think their arguments are going to carry at the end of the day, Jordan.
Yeah, they also try to say it's vague. There's always this debate in America, is terrorism defined by law? But this is specific to international terrorism and terrorist activities. Those are defined. So international terrorism is defined in the 18 USC of our federal code, 2331 section 1, subsection 1. And then the material support of resources to terrorists is USC 2339A B1. So those are defined. The ACLU tries to say these are vague, but the State Department has been very clear on where they're pulling these definitions. The exact questions, are you the spouse, son, or daughter of an individual who's engaged in terrorist activity? So three specific relationships: spouse, son, or daughter. Now, again, so we're not even getting to brothers and sisters. Right. We're getting to your marital relationship, your parents.
Yeah. Immediate family.
And so those who you may have been associated with by birth, so like a brother or a sister, are excluded so far on this question. And the government's saying we can update this, but it's trying to get this vetting that we've talked about and that people voted for in the United States into action. We talked about, you know, the policies into action. Some work right through the bureaucracy. And so you don't have to go through Congress because they're already authorized to do this. But we could see objections. I think we were hearing from a lot of you. We're going to keep taking your phone calls in the second half hour. We're considering filing our own comments as the ACLJ. What do you think about that? Do you support us filing comments about these proposals to visa applications? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air.
That's right. Again, 1-800-684-3110 is heading to the second half hour, JSecul Live. If you don't get it on your local station, you can find us broadcasting live on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSecul, or today, Twitter at Periscope at JSecul. Download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the JSecul Live podcast. We'll be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
our second half hour. If you are just joining us on the broadcast, let me just reset it for you quickly. The U.S. State Department, in an attempt to take the idea of extreme vetting and put it into action, has proposed updates to the immigration visa form filled out by non-American citizens, so foreign nationals, to immigrate to the United States, the DS-260 form. In that form, you'll be asked about your social media handles, not your passwords, but your social media handles to specified social media platforms. So, you know, is it Twitter? Is it Facebook? I would imagine those will be specified because we've seen them being utilized by these radical groups and utilized by so much of the world as well. Just like we asked for your home address on this information and your phone number and who you're married to and information about them, you're being asked about your social media profile. To me, when you're talking about a non-citizen who is applying to immigrate to the United States, we're not talking about, in this situation at least, just a tourist visa even, but we're talking about an immigrant visa to the United States, that you have got to provide a full profile of who you are to the U.S. government that is going to be granting you that unbelievable a special status to be in the United States for, in many cases, you know, an indefinite period of time. I mean, it could be for the rest of your life. It could be that you're you could be on a pathway to permanent residency or even citizenship. So they don't like the ACLU and the left doesn't like the question about your social media handles. They also don't like the question about it already asked, are you a terrorist? Which I don't think people are very honest about, likely, especially if they're coming here to do us harm. But now it's going to part two, which is, are you the son or daughter or the spouse of someone who has been tied to international terrorist activities? So your parents or your husband or wife, they've been tied to. And in this situation, just remember, it was the wife in the San Bernardino attack who had to apply on this form to get a visa to the United States. It was the wife who had a social media platform and profile that supported groups like ISIS. So, and she was a recruiter for the Islamic State, put in touch with those who they believe could be susceptible to the propaganda. 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. Logan, let's take a call right off the bat here.
Yep, Stuart in Maryland, line 6.
Hey, Stuart.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I had a comment. So I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I've been here pretty much my whole life, but I moved here from the U.K. when I was very young.
Okay.
I've been through the whole, you know, immigration and naturalization process, and they have every piece of information they could possibly want to have on me, you know, everywhere I've lived, where I've gone to school, who I'm associated with, names I have used, everything they could possibly want. And I was happy to give that information because I wanted to live here. It was a privilege to be here. I wanted to continue living here, and I wanted to be a United States citizen. So if they had asked for my social media profiles, I would have been happy to give that information. And you know, this is a great proposal. You know, giving that information and asking for that information is not an invasion of privacy. It's not just reasonable. It's necessary.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on this. And this should not be a big deal. I mean, this is something that we should all be embracing.
You know, Stuart, when they asked for your home address, they weren't asking it because they were going to go break into your house or get a warrant to come into your house. It was to confirm that, you know, where your address was and what you've been associated with is truthful and honest. Are you being correct? And what activities may have been associated with that address so that you could explain if necessary. And the second part about this, again, they're not asking for people's passwords. They're not getting, this way. They just want to know what you're publicly saying. I think it's updating a form to stay with the times. Whereas the previous information may have been adequate, it's no longer adequate because of how the world, including many Americans, but everywhere else, utilizes social media to make public comments. And oftentimes those we've seen the terrorist groups utilizing every social media platform they can. The number is 1-800-684-3110. Lois, it's a busy show today. Lots of calls. We're also taking comments on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. We'll take some of those during the breaks as well. If you're watching online, we're on an exclusive video that's going to run for you. So again, the show doesn't stop. If you watch online during commercial breaks on radio, we either continue the conversation going or play exclusive videos. So be right back.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. When the 2016 campaign was in full swing, we heard ideas like extreme vetting. And we saw the executive order then issued by President Trump after he was elected on the ideas of border security, the ideas of securing those who want to come to our country and the visa process, the applications that they issue, what countries are of particular concern to the visa, or even utilizing the refugee laws. And we've seen some of that's being litigated now. But some of that was done by executive order is able to be implemented not through having to go through a congressional act or issue another executive order, but can be an update via the State Department through the information we already request from people applying to come to the United States. Those two updates with the ACLU can't stomach are one, asking those non-U.S. citizens applying for immigrant visas to the U.S. about 5 years of their social media handles for specific sites. So we're going to make it specific for people so it's not a kind of open-ended question. The second, and of course the U.S. government's reserving the right to update those because, as we know, one day's social media site that's very popular can be the next day the old news and something new can pop up. Second will be your known that if your parents or your spouse were involved in any terrorist activities that you knew about that are known to you. And a lot of this gets to truthfulness and honesty. It's not that even necessarily that would bar you, but you have then an opportunity to explain. How do you suspect this about a family member? How do you know this about a family member? And it tells you a lot about someone who is, again, asking to immigrate to the United States. We're taking phone calls about this. Do you support these changes that the ACLU is so opposed to? 1-800-684-3110. Let me bring Wes Smith into the conversation, then we'll go right to the phones. Wes, as a retired colonel from the Army, I mean, the idea here again that we would that it's somehow a violation of all these rights for a non-citizen to be asked, along with lots of other prying information about their names, their addresses, their physical addresses, the information about who they're married to, who they've been associated with, family members, work, where they've worked in the past, but now updating that to kind of be with the times. We've said that a number of times this broadcast, that oftentimes the digital world is evolving faster than our laws, faster than the court systems, faster than regulations. Here's an opportunity where we've seen problems with those who have posted on social media, not because we weren't asking about it, so it wasn't being vetted before. I mean, we're basically told that by our U.S. government.
Right, right. You know, terrorist organizations have taken the effective use of social media and the internet to a whole new level. Many of the terrorists that have committed atrocities in the last few years, they communicate with their family and friends prior to suicide attacks. They announce some of their plans at times. And of course, it's routine for terrorist groups to take credit for terror attacks. Where? On social media. So, you know, the social media questions are pertinent. This is not your grandparents' world or your grandparents' visa application. With all this controversy, Jordan, I took the opportunity this morning to reach out to three sets of friends. One of them is a family from South Africa. The other man, who is a dear friend of mine, immigrated here with his wife and children from the Kurdish portion of Iraq, northern Iraq. Yep. And then another two individuals came here from Afghanistan. And I asked them how they felt about this and all of the hullabaloo over the ACLU objecting to this. And they thought it was laughable. They said they were more than happy to answer all the questions they were asked to get here, and that they would answer even more if need be. And one of them said, you know, if you have nothing to hide, there's no objection to these kinds of questions. And in each of these individuals' cases, they are so grateful to be in America. If an individual is honest and has no ulterior or terror-motivated agendas, these questions simply are not a big deal. I think it's much more troublesome, these questions, for the ACLU and for terrorists who want to enter the United States than it is for people who really want to come here and start a new life.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot less reasons that these immigration visa applications get denied. It could be for a lot of reasons. It can be from, we don't believe. You know, you've got to, a lot of times, depending on what kind of immigration status you're requesting, prove that you are going to be able to stand on your own two feet, that, you know, you've got work or potential support in the United States, non-government support. Language issues are important as well. So your ability to if you're applying for a specific kind of immigration visa, so there's work visas that would fall under this category long-term, that you've got to prove, why are you applying this way? You've got to provide your fingerprints. You have to provide a photo. I mean, we ask for a lot of information. I think that this is just the next necessary step. And it's important to point out it's for non-citizens who are applying abroad to get a visa to immigrate to the United States. So we're not talking about even everybody getting a visa. We're talking about specifically those who want to be here for a long period of time. Let's go to the phones, Logan, 1-800-684-3110. The ACLU has put out comments on this. We've addressed that. I believe we're going to work on our own commentary here from the ACLJ. That period is over at the end of May, so there's some time. This just came out literally, I think, four days ago. So back to the phones we go right now.
Let's go to Pete in Baltimore, Maryland. You're on the air, Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Awesome. Hey, I think any information we can gather for people trying to come into this country to protect the other citizens is really necessary. I mean, besides blood type and things like that, obviously not, but just basic information to make sure you're protecting the citizens of this country is necessary at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, the ACLU wants to make it about profiling, Than, and I want to be clear, I'm making about building an individual profile. Who is the person? Not even necessarily profiling a group, but who is the person that is applying for the status? Because that's what this application is about. It's about individuals. You don't apply, even if you're associated with family members and things like that, you've got to put together your own application as an adult. And so I want to know who that, what that adult, who they're associated with as, and I think our government's job is, as Pete said, is to protect us.
It absolutely is. It's their constitutional and statutory requirement. And I would just say this, it's also based on information that is voluntarily provided. And Jordan, comments that have been made into the public domain, so to speak, already. I mean, that's what social media is, public comments. This is just providing them to law enforcement. And I would just add this for a little bit of color, too. We talked about it very briefly, but think about all of the different attacks that have happened in this country over the last few years. It is almost like clockwork, Jordan. You see about the attack and then you say, oh, We're going to find out who this is and what they're all about in about 5 minutes through their social media accounts. Newsrooms across the country start looking for these people online, and immediately they find them. Jordan, if we can find that information within 2 minutes after an attack, then shouldn't law enforcement and the Department of State and those who are vetting these applications find that information when that person applies so that the underlying attack never happens in the first place? I'm with the caller, Stuart, who said this is not extreme. This is basic. And if we don't do it, we're failing our jobs to the U.S. citizens who the ACLU says is wrongly targeted. Jordan, it doesn't even apply to them. They don't apply for these
visas. For me, I mean, it's this situation where the law enforcement community, I would think also from the national security context, again, it's kind of forcing the government officials to, by asking this question, you know, someone leaving it blank right now would be pretty suspect. I mean, you can look at age. That could be an issue. You could look at where they're coming from, access to any kind of devices. But if you're coming from even a quasi-developed world, and unless you're unless you're much older, you likely have some kind of social media footprint. And that's just the world we live in right now. So you update your questionnaires to kind of match where we are as a world so that those government officials have to check into this. If you don't put anything down, they have to kind of do some work as well.
Right. This is called due diligence on the part of the U.S. government and our Homeland Security people. Due diligence. And as social media has evolved, and we've seen this just really even more so in the last couple of 3 years, it's hard to hide your social media footprint. It's hard to erase it. It's out there, and just with certain amounts of information, the government or even individuals can go back. They can look at your posts. They can look at your profiles, your photographs, and it's extremely difficult to hide under the radar with social media. And I think that's why this is so important as we continue to try and welcome people who need to come to America and yet at the same time protect the homeland.
For Sonia, David, and Laura, we are going to take all your phone calls when we come back. I know we only have one phone line open right now. Two are going through the process. So we got one open at 1-800-684-3110. We really want to get your comments, your thoughts in our final segment of the broadcast as well. We take as many calls and comments as we can, because that's what the U.S. government's asking for here, is your comments on these proposals. We're going to work on an ACLJ comment, so we want to get your thoughts on this. We want to take it to our radio listeners and our supporters. If you want to give us a call, it's 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, people can stay engaged with this too. I mean, this is just the beginning of this conversation. We've got until the end of May to let our thoughts be known to the government.
That's right. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Join us for the last segment online, ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope. Just search for Jordan Secular or Jay Secular, broadcasting live on those pages. But again, phone lines 1-800-684-3110 as we head into the final segment of the day. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State. Numerous ambassadorships remain vacant. North Korea, Iran, Russia, an American pastor being wrongfully held in Turkey for his Christian faith. With these ominous threats, we must have a fully staffed diplomatic corps. The nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Director Mike Pompeo, is eminently qualified and must be confirmed immediately. The nominee to be Ambassador to Germany, a critical G7 nation, has been pending for more than 7 months. It's absurd. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Phone lines are pretty full. There's one or two open right now. We're going to take as many calls as we can this final segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Before we get back to the visa update, let me get a report quickly from Wes Smith. Wes, there were some questions because it's a statement the president made yesterday about Syria and his he wants to see the U.S. Troops be able to withdraw from Syria as soon as possible. So people were kind of asking for follow-up. What does that mean? The White House has now clarified what the president was referring to there. It was kind of what I suspected, which would be that's always a goal, but we're not, no specifics, not that, you know, but it is saying start thinking this way because ISIS has almost been eliminated in Syria. We're not saying everywhere,
right?
But in Syria, which was their stronghold.
Yeah, and the mainstream media tried to make a big deal out of a divide between the envoy to that region of the world and the president about this. And I think the White House statement this morning clarifies that ISIS is almost defeated there. There are actually about 3,000 ISIS fighters still controlling a small amount of territory in southeastern Syria. And so there are more battles to come. But when you look at where they were, when President Trump took office, where they are now, they've lost 98% of their territory. Yep. And so basically the White House statement, it says that the fight against ISIS will continue until they're completely eliminated. And then it also promises, it says, we will continue to consult with our allies and friends regarding future plans. So this White House statement, establishes a goal that ultimately we'd like to not have military troops there, but there is nothing precipitous that's going to happen. We will continue to consult with allies and friends regarding what happens next. The key to really fighting a war well is not only, fighting for the victory in the war, but also fighting for the peace that follows it. And so even after these last 3,000 ISIS fighters are eliminated, and that will probably be rather soon, at the same time, there is much more work to be done as far as rebuilding Syria, dealing with all of the complicated relationships between Russia and Iran and Turkey and how they relate to a U.S. presence there. So it's a complex, complicated part of the world. This mission is not simple. I think the White House statement establishes what their clear goals are, and yet it's open-ended enough that we will react to conditions on the ground as they develop.
All right, let's go right to the phones. People have been holding on. Let's take. We got four calls. Let's get through them right now.
Sonia's calling in Connecticut on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, Sonia.
Yes. Oh, hi, Jordan. I am an immigrant from Jamaica. And when we thought about coming to the United States, it's the greatest privilege in the world. Everybody wants to come to the United States. So the United States government has a right to ask us any question they deem necessary to ask us. And people want to come here should be very happy to give them anything they want to, because they want to come here.
Go ahead.
And what I think the ACLU is forgetting, they're forgetting the difference between U.S. citizen and other people from other country. Other people from other country want to come here. They have no right under the Constitution and U.S. law that they are should be given anything. It's a privilege. Yep. And also, I think maybe the Democrats are also behind this, because what they want people to do is come here and do what they want and then vote for them, so they're constantly running this country.
Yeah, there's politics. There are politics here, Sonia. And I think that going through this process, you see that even as a country that does not have to make it this kind of lay it out for people, we are trying to give some kind of due process here, even to those who may not require it, because, again, they're not in the United States, so they're not within the jurisdiction. I mean, they're making an application that can be denied for many different reasons, one of which should be posing a threat to the country and its citizens. And like you said, most people will just, you know, they'd be happy to give this kind of new information. It's not going to affect most people who are coming here for other reasons. If you do have this kind of association that you know about in your family, you can explain it. And I think that, it maybe your explanation won't be enough. Sometimes it will be enough. But again, this is about updating our forms to be in 2018 instead of, kind of back in the 1990s. All right. Let's take another call.
Let's continue on. Let's go to David, Indiana, line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. I've got a statement and then a question, and the statement deals with the question. So the statement is that people can change their profile at a moment's notice. They can add, or they can give a fake information right off the bat and create a fake profile on their page and the whole works. So it still depends upon the person being honest in the first place. The second thing is that the security systems in our society have got facial recognition software that's so efficient that they can find somebody, and they've already taken a picture if they're trying to immigrate. So they could take that picture and do a scan clear across the internet and come up with that picture in a very short period of time. So this kind of argument on what they do or do not put on a forum is kind of a moot point.
It's just one part. You know, if someone's not being honest, so if you know that they've got a social media platform at all, regardless if it's linked to terrorism or not, but they're not being honest and forthright in the information you're requesting, immigration visa application denied. Because, you know, they had information they didn't provide. So you're also trying to get to the honesty and truthfulness. Is that their correct address? Is that correct handle? Do they have these AKAs that they utilize in their social media profiles that they don't utilize as their actual or former names that they list on the form? Well, then they would be in violation. So if you find that information out, it gives reasons to deny the application very easy right off the bat. But there are plenty of people who aren't taking the steps to even cover up this information. And it's still out there. So I think that, yes, there's the most sophisticated terrorist is not going to have that kind of footprint. But plenty of people who may be susceptible to working with terrorists do because they've let it be known publicly that they're associated this way. Let's try to get these last two calls of the day.
All right, let's go to Laura in Marietta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Yeah, I just have two quick comments. Obviously, the first one's on legal immigration. The second one is on the social media. I just want to say I'm an immigrant from South Africa. I've lived in Canada. I've lived in Australia. I've lived in New Zealand. And I've lived in the United States twice. Been here on H-1B visa, L visa, green card, citizen.
Yep.
So, and through every stage of the process, I mean, I was screened. There were medicals. And it's not just America. It's any country I've moved to, lived in. And a lot of people who are complaining about this, their own countries are just as, you know, difficult to get to if you ever try to go there. So every country has their process. On the social media, I'm going to first of all echo some of the previous callers. Of course, they're free to ask anything. They need to know who's coming. One concern I have with the social media is, and I just find that in America lately, like, for example, okay, we're citizens now and it's fine. But if I was in a different country coming over, my husband and I, our family, our fun thing to do on weekends is to go out to the shooting range. So we put the kids in the car, we own guns, and that's a fun family thing for us to do. My worry would be if I was an immigrant coming here and I had a Facebook page and I had, you know, the kids and I at the gun range, just that the people processing my application, if they happen to be anti-gun and they have their political anti, you know, they want to get rid of the Second Amendment, that they could be prejudiced. I know they can't make a decision against you for that, but their own interpretations, and they can make it difficult or find some other excuse.
Listen, there are ways the government can misuse information. Always are. I think it's different. Like you said, you're protected as a U.S. citizen. You don't have the same kind of protection you're applying to come here. But like you said, it's not grounds. That would not be grounds. You're asking to immigrate to a country which has the Second Amendment to our Constitution, which grants that kind of right to those who have the citizenship status here. And so, again, it's part of what you get as being an American that we're asking non-citizens. And I think we have to see these public profiles in social media just like a home address. I mean, it's just be treated that way. We will talk to you tomorrow on Jason.
International threats are more dire than ever, yet our diplomatic corps is severely depleted. We must put maximum pressure on Congress to confirm critical appointments to our diplomatic corps. It's time for Congress to do its constitutional duty. Diplomatic deficiencies put our national security at risk. The political gamesmanship must end, but we need you and your support. Sign on to our petition to confirm the Secretary of State and our diplomatic corps. You can sign online at aclj.org.